Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open them to Luke chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke. As you're turning there, without gossiping, of course, what's something in which you find yourself incredibly disappointed? Anybody find, I know there's at least a couple things in here that people might be disappointed about. So what are you disappointed about? All right. Patrick Mahomes getting hurt. Somebody else was going to say that too. All right. What else? Yeah, getting shut. You try to share the gospel with somebody and they don't want to talk about it. Yeah, that's tough. Definitely. Well, no, that worked really well. She put lighter fluid in it when you, right, Miranda? Lighter fluid, and then it, so it worked exactly as she planned. Yeah. The Packers losing to the Bears last night. Download's not working. All right. That's actually, I'm glad you said that, because I was thinking, I was making a list of things as I was thinking through this week, and I was preparing for this message, and I was thinking, if you're like me, so often, as I start to think about the things I'm disappointed in, so often the disappointments are related to first world problems, right? And several of the things that were said in here, first world problems. You know, I think of car troubles. I think of financial struggles. I think of failures with our sports teams. I think of the weather. I think of housing woes. I think of property taxes, right? These are things I'm disappointed in. Things that much of the world, they're not even thinking about these things, let alone finding themselves disappointed in them. You know, I've never had to, like my Iranian Christian friend who's a refugee or was a refugee in Turkey that I met several years ago, his name is Poria. I've never had to flee for my life after my dad and uncle were killed for their faith and be a refugee in a country where I am told where I can and cannot go, where I'm told where I have to live. You know, I've in a Muslim country nonetheless. I've never had to wonder if I'm ever going to see any of my family members again because of political and religious persecution. See, I'm, instead of that, I'm worried about how high my car insurance is going to be when I renew the next six-month premium in a couple months. Those are the things that I'm concerned about. I've certainly, as we just sang about a few minutes ago, as Caleb read about, I've certainly never been a first century shepherd, you know, living out in the field with my flocks by night. I've never done that. Have you? You know, I've never been despised by the culture around me as a shepherd. I've never been considered unworthy of being able to testify in a court of law legally because of my position, the lowest of the low. I mean, talk about a difficult and seemingly disappointing life, being a shepherd in the first century. What good could they possibly expect? What good could a shepherd experience? And yet, I want to read it again because it's such an important passage. We're going to look at verses 10 to 14 this morning, but I want to read for the sake of context. I want to see as we go to verse 8 again, which is right where Caleb read. I want to read these verses, and I want you to think about that disappointment that we're so tempted to dwell on, and then think of being a shepherd who certainly had to have a disappointing life, and then see what happens here. So, in beginning in verse 8, it says, "In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you,'" and that word proclaim, it's the same word for declare, of course, or even evangelize. I evangelize to you, I proclaim to you what good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior who is Messiah the Lord was born for you in the city of David. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors.'" Father, we thank you for the good news of the gospel, the birth of your son Jesus Christ, just as promised, in the same place, in the same way, just as you promised through your prophets. And he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead to win the victory forever for all who call upon his name. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news that was declared to these shepherds. Thank you that even in the midst of disappointment in our lives, we can have peace. We can have peace not because of our circumstances, not because of what we can accomplish, not because of what we do, but we can have peace because of who you are and because of the good news, because of Advent, because of the coming of our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. Father, help us today in the midst of the struggles, in the midst of the disappointments, help us to have peace in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So far, we've addressed the question when we think of, is peace even possible? We've talked about how, of course, in Christ, the answer is yes, but only in Christ. We've talked about how when people hurt you, even when you go through the hurt of this life, there is still peace in Christ. In fact, we are to be facilitators. We're to be pursuers of that peace, especially in the body of Christ. Last week, we talked about the question, why do I have to wait? You know, I want peace, but why all of the waiting? And we need not grow weary even in the waiting, but we can endure the waiting of the second advent. We can endure in Christ. Well, today I want to consider the question that, as we've been talking about earlier, I want to consider the question, well, what if I'm disappointed? How can I have peace even in the midst of all the disappointment that is in this life that we experience? You know, life is full of disappointment, and yet Advent reminds us that even when all seems chaotic, all seems lost, all seems to be in despair, there is peace in Christ. Just as the angels sang, you know, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people he favors. When you are disappointed and you are struggling, then what? And so my purpose in the message is to answer that question, that you will be satisfied in the Lord. Yes, it's easier said than done. It's easy for me to say this morning, to stand up here and tell you, be satisfied in the Lord. Stop being disappointed. Stop being so discouraged. It's easy to say that, but even still, yes, sometimes things that are easy to say are still true. They're still important. Yes, it's easy for me to say it, but it's the truth. Are you looking elsewhere for peace? Then you're going to live in continued disappointment. Right, that's why one of the questions that we ask one another every week in our discipleship accountability groups is, have you allowed any person or circumstance to rob you of your joy? Right? And have you allowed it? Have you allowed it? Right? In Christ, you have it. You have joy in Christ. And so nobody can take that away unless you allow it to be so. How? By not looking to him for peace. And so when that joy is gone, it's not because God has failed us. It's because we have failed to look to him. That's why we struggle so much with continued disappointment in our lives. You know, think about some of the things that might have been going through your head when you're thinking about disappointment. Money, careers, sports, even people. All are going to disappoint. So when we start looking to those things, we're thinking, oh, I'm so disappointed. So if I just had a little more money, oh, I'm so disappointed. If I just had a little better car, oh, I'm so disappointed. If this relationship was just better. And we start thinking of those things, if that's where we're looking for peace, we're just going to get disappointed again. None of those things bring about lasting peace. Find your satisfaction and your hope and your fulfillment and your peace in the Lord, even in the midst of disappointment. And so from this passage we read, especially as we look at verses 10 to 14, I want you to notice two beneficial ways to respond to disappointment. Because again, we think about, okay, none of us has any idea what it's like to be a first century shepherd in the Roman world. And so just think about, okay, if that's you, and your life is about as disappointing as a life could be, how do you respond? What was the message of the angels to the shepherds? Hey guys, don't worry about it. Life's going to turn out to be better for you because you're going to have a everything you ever wanted. You know, the message isn't, the point is, it's not about us. It's not about our circumstances. Per the instructions of the angels to the shepherds, how do we respond to disappointment? Clear instructions here, and also not just here, but throughout God's word. What should we do in the face of disappointment? One important way to respond is to replace fear with faith. You see, if you think about it, disappointment is often caused by fear, isn't it? I mean, fear and disappointment feed one another. Fear and disappointment feed off of one another. I mean, that's just the reality. And so, oh, what if I don't get this? Or what if this happens? And so often, and so we live our lives disappointed. Replace fear with faith, and you'll experience less and less disappointment, especially regarding that which matters. Right? I mean, if I replaced fear with faith in my sports teams, that's not going to do much for me, because what's going to happen? Well, I had faith, and they let me down again. And so it's got to be the right kind of, the things that matter, and it has to be the right kind of faith. So you look at verse 10 again. Don't be, what? What's he say? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Instead, look. Don't be afraid, but look. Look why? Because Advent is the story of good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And notice he doesn't say it's good news of great joy for all of those who don't have really tough lives right now. The shepherds had it worse than anybody. No, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. There's no conditions on that. This is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. When you look and you see and you understand this, and when you believe, then you begin to replace your fear with faith. Don't be afraid. Look. Good news of great joy for all the people. Disappointment fades away as hope and peace grow. And that's what happens with good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The story of Advent, the birth of our Savior. And that's what we see in verse 11. We see the story of Christmas. Believe this good news. Replace fear with faith. And not just faith in general. Sometimes people say, well, you just got to have faith. Well, faith in what? Not just faith in general. Not faith in yourself. Not faith in any old thing. No, faith in Jesus, Savior, Messiah, Lord. No one else is these things. Born in Bethlehem, just as was promised. The little town of Bethlehem, insignificant, and yet it was promised and it happened just as was promised. The word today here, this is fascinating. I didn't realize this until last week when I was looking into this a little further. This verse, or this word today, is used 20 times in Luke and Acts. So remember, Luke Acts is one book with two volumes. You got Luke and Acts written by the same author, Luke. It's more than half the New Testament, just in these two volumes. Luke and Acts, volume-wise, is more than half of the New Testament. Luke said 20 different times he used this word, and it's significant. It's an important word because, as the Net Bible translation notes point out, it says that this signifies the dawning of the era of the messianic salvation and the fulfillment of the plan of God. So here in Luke, it underscores the idea of present fulfillment in Jesus' ministry. That's what Luke is addressing, right? It's a gospel of Jesus. And so he's talking about, when he uses this word today, it's a significant word. He's saying, no, it's right now. Savior, Messiah, Lord, right now. He came. He's come to fulfill all of those promises, Theophilus, that I was telling you about, that those things that you've heard as you look through the Old Testament, they're pointing to Christ. And here it is today. Jesus has come to fulfill it. Today, it's come. And in Acts, then, in the book of Acts, is the second volume of Luke's writing. It indicates the salvific fulfillment present in the church that Jesus established. And so then notice then in verse 12, notice that faith, it's not even totally blind. Right? It's not even totally blind, but rather it's based on God's good promises. It's based on God's perfect faithfulness. Remember what we considered last week at the birth of our Savior? Trust the promises. When we talk about thinking back to the first advent and looking forward to the second advent of Jesus, the second coming, trust the promises, God's promises. He never fails. You see, all of this happened just as was promised. And so replace your fear with faith in the Lord God Almighty. My Iranian friend Poria, he's done this so well, right? He's been through so much. And yet his focus has always been, how can I help people follow Jesus? In the face of suffering, in the face of difficulty, in the face of tragedy, in the face of fear, faith in the Lord. Psalm 56 says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I mean, talk about an example of replacing fear with faith. What about the story that you guys have been studying the last few weeks in family groups in the book of Daniel, right? I mean, kids, what's something that Daniel could have feared? What should he have been afraid of? The lion, yeah. Who wants to go in a lion's den? Not in your right mind, right? What else? What else could Daniel have feared? Anything else, Omar? The bad kings, right? Yeah. So Wesley and Omar, you guys have great examples. Those are two of the things I was thinking of. The king, the worldly evil kings and their laws, and the people that thought they were wise, Omar, the people that thought they were wise and they were going to trick Daniel, right? So we could fear those things. Daniel could have feared those things. He certainly could have feared the lion's den. He could have feared any sort of punishment and suffering that would have come. But Daniel had faith. He had faith in the midst of those difficulties. He didn't let fear control him, but instead, he had faith in the Lord. He didn't have faith in himself. He didn't have faith in the Babylonian Empire. He had faith in the Lord. And so when the law was passed that anyone speaking or praying to any god except for the God, the king himself, if anybody prayed to anyone but the king, what would happen? You'd get thrown in the lion's den. What did Daniel do? He prayed. In fact, it says in verse 10 of chapter 6, he prayed and gave thanks to his God just as he had done before. So his circumstances changed for the worse, but what did Daniel do? He still kept his faith in the Lord. He still sought the Lord. Do you think Daniel was disappointed in his circumstances? Of course he was. Right? Yeah, of course, he had to be. But in the midst of the disappointment, he trusted the Lord to be at work. And of course, we know the rest of the story. It says in verse 23, Daniel was taken out of the den, the lion's den, uninjured, for he trusted in his God. Now, let's be clear. That wasn't promised. There's nothing before verse 23 or nothing before chapter 6 or before he was thrown in the lion's den that says, hey, Daniel, don't worry, man. They're going to throw you in, but you'll be okay. You won't get hurt. There was no promise of that. We're not guaranteed such deliverance. And often, that's not the reality. So my friend Poria was delivered. He escaped Iran. He lived in Turkey for years. Now he's in America. He's in Oklahoma. So he was delivered, but it didn't happen for his dad. It didn't happen for his uncle. So did they have less faith? No, that's not what we see in the scriptures. So sometimes the deliverance comes in this life, sometimes it doesn't, but the deliverance we look forward to is what comes when Jesus comes again. That's the ultimate deliverance that we are promised, and so that's why we have faith. We don't have faith because of our circumstances now. We have faith because of what Christ has already done and what he's going to do. Daniel trusted and sought the Lord despite the fact that there was no promise that he would be safe. See, to deal with disappointment, replace fear with faith. Faith in the Lord. Secondly, then, of course, going with that would be to turn to Jesus. You really can't replace fear with faith without turning to Jesus. Because it's going to be faith in something that's just going to cause more fear. That's going to lead to more disappointment. Right? He is the answer for all of our deepest disappointments. He is our source and our reason for lasting peace. He is the one who makes God's favor possible. So in verse 11, look at it here. Savior, Messiah, Lord, there's only one. His name is Jesus. The CSB Study Bible notes say it well when it says the shepherds would have been shocked to hear that a divine messianic ruler had been born, but to be told that he was lying in a manger and born to a man and woman of humble means would have seemed preposterous. Ridiculous, right? Wait, he's the promised Messiah and he's in a feeding trough? Wait, he's the Savior of the world and you're saying he was born to people from Nazareth? In Bethlehem? What are you talking? That doesn't make any sense. No, that's ridiculous. That's impossible. It's miraculous. Because it happened just as was promised. In a way that could only point to God's sovereign plan, his perfect control. He is the fulfillment. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises. We see it in verse 12. No one else is. Jesus is. 2 Corinthians 1, he's the yes to every single one of God's promises. Plenty of others have tried, plenty of others have claimed, but they're now dead and buried, or they will be. Right? Jesus died, Jesus was buried, but then he rose from the dead. He lives. He's the only one to do that. right? He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he has always done just as was promised. All of this happened just as was promised. And you look at verses 13 and 14, God is glorified. He's glorified in and through Jesus. Because think about what's happening here. This is after they said there's a Savior who was born, the Messiah of the Old Testament, the promised Messiah, the Lord of Lords. He was born. And so there's a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God. And what are they saying? They're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. Peace on earth how? In and through Jesus. Right? Consider, just think for a moment, and if you have something, just yell it out, but where do people look to for peace right now? Money? Huh? People? Yep. Yep, other people, or sometimes to themselves. Yeah, what else? What are some other things that people look to for peace in the world? Power, what's that? Yeah, power of the nation, yep. Drink, yep, alcohol, or something else that will numb the pain. It could be all kinds of things. I mean, little Debbie Christmas trees, I'll admit, I don't do alcohol, but I hit those Christmas trees pretty hard sometimes. Yeah. What's that? Opening presents, yeah. We look for what are we going to get in a few days. We think things are rough right now, but I know Mom and Dad are going to hook me up. Yeah. Yeah, getting your kids, so there's speaking prophecy, right? But you see, we think of all these things, all of us are guilty of this, right? We're all guilty of looking to other things to satisfy us, to give us peace. You know, we're discouraged, we're overwhelmed, and maybe just one more glass of eggnog. Oh, that sweet eggnog. You know, or one more Christmas present, or one more whatever it is, and we start thinking, if I just have a little more money, if I just get that one promotion at work, if I could just get this girl to like me, or if this boy would just marry me, or if this person would just forgive me, you know, maybe then I'll have peace. And so we start looking to all these different things, and they're not even necessarily bad things, but see, none of these things bring lasting peace. The Roman Empire couldn't achieve it. Think about all that the Roman Empire did. They couldn't achieve peace. Even our great nation, we can't deliver peace, not fully, not in any lasting way. You just watch the news and we know there's not peace, not in a way that lasts. Peace is found in Christ alone. You see, the world is full of disappointment. And anyone who's been alive and can comprehend anything knows the world is full of disappointment. And so the world is missing peace. You don't have to be. You don't have to be missing peace, and you won't continue missing peace if you replace faith with fear, you will miss peace. If you replace fear with faith by turning to Jesus, you're not going to continue missing peace because you're going to be looking to the right one who can give you peace. This is why some of the most joyful people I've ever met are persecuted Christians. I mean, some of you have had this experience, but when you meet somebody who's been through what they've been through on account of their faith and you see the joy on their face, just that it's like they glow with joy. It's like it just radiates. I can't explain it unless you've seen it because it's not something I've seen a lot, but I've met persecuted Christians that have such joy in Christ despite what they're going through, despite what they've lost. But they've been there. They know what peace is. They know where to look for peace. Because they know that even in the hardest and the worst of times, there's one who gives peace. So many more problems than you and I do, and yet it just glows out of them. Because their peace is in the Lord. They believe what the angels declared to the shepherds, and they live it out. See, one of the many songs I love is the one that we just sang right before the message, because the angels we have heard on high, because it's a song, it's a song for this passage. I mean, we're singing the words of Scripture. And I love songs that sing the words of Scripture, especially when they do it well. You know, songs like that are easy to sing corporately and they have great musical arrangement. But for example, I love, so if you look at verse 15, if you look in your Bibles at verse 15 and following, and you see how this story continues after the shepherds get this news, and then listen again to verse 3, of the song we just sang, I'm not going to sing it, don't worry, but it says, come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. That should be the call for all of us. That should be what we're seeking to do, right? Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Turn to Jesus. Worship him. He's worthy of our worship. Tell the world. Replace fear with faith by turning to Jesus. Trust in him. Follow him. Disappointment in this life is going to continue. It would be a lie for me to stand up here today and say, if you would just replace your fear with faith, and if you would just turn to Jesus, no more disappointment. No. You're not going to go through the rest of this day without disappointment. There will be disappointment, but in Jesus, you can have peace even in the disappointment. Remember I said my challenge to you today, well, think of that last verse again. Glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to people he favors. This is the reality for all who know and follow Jesus. Count it among those whom God favors. Who does God favor? Those who are in Christ. So there's peace on earth to those that God has favor over. That's a reason for peace. I said that I challenge you today that you would be satisfied in the Lord. How are you doing with this? If you're like the vast majority of us, or maybe all of us as sinners, this is a lifelong struggle to find your satisfaction, your contentment, your fulfillment, your peace, to find it in the Lord. And so seek the Lord for grace. Seek him for help. Cry out to him, God, help me to look to you for peace. Help me to stop looking to those other things that I'm so tempted to look to. Commit yourself to discipleship and accountability, relationships with other believers who will walk alongside you in that, knowing that you can't do it on your own. None of us is able to do that. And of course, if your walk with the Lord isn't sincere, if you've just been going through the motions like I did for the first 20 years of my life, if you're just going through the motions, satisfaction is always going to be lacking. You're never going to be satisfied in the Lord because you have to know him first. Right? His design, his plan for your life is perfect. His plan is satisfaction and peace, by the way. That you will be satisfied, that you will have peace. That's his plan for you. But we know the reality is we all sin. We all fall short of his perfect standard for our lives, and that leads to brokenness. The missing peace that we're talking about is because of our sin. It's not because of our circumstances. It's not because of the world around us. It's because of us, because of our hearts. A failure to find satisfaction, a failure to be content. That's the reality of brokenness in our world. For all of us, despair amidst all the disappointment in this life. And most importantly, then, that means a broken relationship with God, which means we all deserve to spend eternity in hell because our relationship with the perfect God is broken by our sin. And there's only one thing that can fix the brokenness. The story of Advent, the message of the gospel. Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins. He was born of a virgin. He lived the perfect life that you and I couldn't. He lived with perfect satisfaction in the Lord. And then he died for us. And he was buried. And he rose from the dead. He won the victory over sin and death forever. So the Bible says that now if you repent of your sins, if you believe in Jesus alone for forgiveness and salvation, he'll give you a new life. You'll be saved from brokenness now and brokenness for eternity. Now, we're still broken, every one of us. But as you put your faith in Jesus, as you replace that fear with faith, and as you turn to Jesus, he changes your life and you begin to recover and pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for your life. That's when you have peace, because you're looking to the right place for it. Satisfaction in the Lord, contentment because of the Lord. And what does that lead to? It leads to peace with others. A growing desire to know Jesus, a growing desire to help others to know Jesus, a boldness to declare the peace that is only possible in and through him. Just like the shepherds, and we'll talk about this on Wednesday night in the candlelight service, but that was the response of the shepherds. They wanted other people to know. Is your passion the gospel? Are you committed to the church as family? Are you faithful to the mission that God has for you, the mission of being a disciple who makes disciples? Let's walk together. Let's find our growing satisfaction in the Lord. Father, that's our prayer today, that you would help us, because we know that every one of us is prone to wander. Lord, we feel it, prone to leave the God we love because of our sin, because of the distractions, because of the things that we think will give us peace. We are tempted to look in other places. So, Father, we pray for your help. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to be committed to one another, knowing that we were made and created and saved to be part of a family, adopted into your family with brothers and sisters in Christ who will challenge and encourage and sharpen and walk alongside us in the faith. We're not good enough to do it on our own. None of us is. So help us, Father, to lean on one another, to trust one another as we trust in you, to follow you and help one another follow you. And Father, help us to be disciples who make disciple makers, sharing our faith, living out our faith, adoring on bended knee our Savior and helping others to see what it is to adore on bended knee, to worship our Savior. Father, I pray for those who are here this morning who haven't yet trusted in you, who haven't yet turned away from sin and called on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation. Please give them the desire right now to do that, to turn to you, to call on you, to cry out to you, to experience what it is to have eternal life, forgiveness of sins, a changed heart. Father, help us to spur one another on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.